Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Robert Coulson, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
All right. Well, the big topic globally, of course, is the U.S. election. And I'd like to talk a bit about the Russian reaction, Russian commentary on the election and the process. State media outlets and pundits and politicians who are allied with the Kremlin have been portraying the U.S. election as a kind of a chaotic and dubious enterprise that undermines faith in American democracy. They were doing so before Election Day and have continued, at least to some degree, since Joe Biden was called as the winner on Saturday, though they seem to have toned down talk about violence and unrest, as that has largely been absent. Rob, you've been watching some of the comments from other quarters in Russia, including Kremlin critics and just people posting on the Internet. What kind of picture is emerging from I guess, those two sides or from what you're seeing?
Well, it's a pretty well-worn page from the playbook of authoritarian governments, as you know, that, you know, to distract attention from domestic matters whenever possible by drawing attention to foreign matters. And this seems to be a good case for the Russian government. The official media has definitely been playing up the chaos of the whole thing, and now they're sort of shifting gears a little bit to continuing to undermine the process itself, the election process in the United States. And that's something that they have been doing since before the 2016 election, and now it's much stronger. And the opposition are a lot of liberal-minded Russians in general, and activists in particular, some liberal journalists as well, have been you're sort of calling the Kremlin out on this, at least on social media. They've been talking about sort of while the government has been emphasizing the stability of the Russian process, they've been portraying that stability as stagnation, and how they've been posting pictures, for example, of five former U.S. presidents to gather together, and then five pictures of Putin, saying that this couldn't happen. They've been saying that Russians can only dream of waking up one morning and asking themselves, well, how is the vote count going in Kaliningrad, or is Tuva going to change the fate of the election? And they've even been marveling at the idea that, in the United States, the votes of an actual citizen could influence, for example, who will be on the Supreme Court, who will be a judge somewhere. So these sorts of things, and they've been doing it, of course, with great humor and great, sardonic humor, I'd say.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the striking things has been, as you say, kind of the question of, we're waiting for the results to come in from here, from this region, from that region, that could change the balance. But in the overall popular vote, there's also, it's also obviously much closer than in Russia. In Russia, of course, in most presidential elections, there are some regions, the question from some regions is whether it's going to be 85% or 95%, percent for Putin. So it's, obviously a striking difference.
Exactly. I saw one meme where there's a map of the United States, and it was pointing out that Ohio had voted correctly in presidential elections for the last X number of years. And then there was a parallel map of Russia where all the regions had voted correctly for the last X number of years.
Yeah.
So it's sort of amusing that way.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking mostly about unofficial comment here. There's been no comment from President Vladimir Putin about the result, about Biden's victory. other messages of congratulation have come in from many other countries over the past 40 hours or so since the election was called by the U.S. media who do that on, I guess it was Saturday evening here and in Russia, parts of Russia. And now, just not long ago, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, I guess he was asked about this, and he said that that the Kremlin will essentially wait, will wait for the official result of the count. So, and that's something, you know, I'd been thinking that they might say. It's obviously, I mean, most other countries are not doing that. And I, you know, just thinking about some of the reasons, and I think, you know, to some degree, the main reason that they might want to do that, that the Kremlin might want to do that, is really part of the idea of sowing doubt. Now, I mean, Putin has said quite clearly, and the foreign ministry has said, that, you know, that Russia is ready to work with whoever wins, whoever won. That was a clear message. So, I mean, this waiting for the official result, I mean, I think there's other motives behind that than the most straightforward ones. And it seems like the main one may be to sow doubt, also to kind of show, well, we are abiding by the rules. And I think Russia likes to seem to do that, you know, in its in foreign policy matters, and also just in the way that Putin has gone about extending his time in power, when he, you know, abided by the rules and didn't go for a third term in 2012. And now he's changed the rules to allow himself to possibly be president until 2036, but not violating them. So I think that's, you know, one of the things that the Kremlin is sort of saying with this. Rob, what's your take about the hesitation?
Yeah, they definitely love creating the impression that they don't interfere in domestic affairs of other countries, and that's the one thing that Putin has emphasized, or the Kremlin has emphasized in going through this. But I think it was Sergei Markov, the pro-Kremlin analyst, who said that it's sort of ironic now that people are calling for Putin to interfere when through the last 4 years we've heard nothing about how Russia was interfering too much. And so they're playing up on that for sure. They like that. There's also the personal aspect of relations between Biden and Putin. We know that they had at least one face-to-face conversation that was quite frank during Biden's vice presidency and over Ukraine. I assume that they also had several diplomatic and through channels exchanges that were also unpleasant. I don't think Putin's personal feelings toward Biden are the same as they were for Hillary Clinton, but they're definitely in the same ballpark. So I think that's also playing a big role.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think related to that is kind of the idea the Kremlin does not like to be perceived as kind of throwing somebody, an ally or somebody who's praised Putin under the bus. So, you know, given, you know, whatever the interference, whatever, given the perceptions about Russia's involvement in the 2016 election, and the fact that, you know, Trump has praised Putin, Putin has praised Trump. You know, I think the idea is that in contrast to the relationship with Biden, there's sort of a sense that, well, you know, others can go ahead and recognize these results. We're going to wait for the real ones. And I also think that Russia the Kremlin just thinks, you know, it has probably little to lose, you know, maybe something to gain and maybe nothing to lose from kind of setting itself apart from other countries that are congratulating Biden.
And domestically, it also plays really well. It almost creates the impression for a certain group of Russians who get their information from state media that the U.S. election isn't finished until Putin says who the winner was. And everybody's sort of waiting for that. And I'm sure that that's the way they'll play it in the Russian state television as well.
Ah, so interesting. Who decides the U.S. election? Absolutely. All right, Rob, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Thanks very much for joining me.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be back. Hope you're taking care.
All right. You too. Thanks, Rob. I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.